Blessings and peace on you. Welcome to another episode of the Pulse Podcast. This is episode 14 of 2025. Wow, I can't believe we are already into the second month of 2025. I know to a lot of people, January seemed really long. I thought it seemed pretty great in a lot of ways. So I don't know if that means it felt long or short, but I'm just happy with how things are going in 2025 in general. I'm really excited to be joining you today. Obviously, Pastor Troy is not here today. We miss him, Pastor. You are in our thoughts and prayers. He's actually filming today over with our friends at Sid Roth's network, and he's doing a lot of fun stuff there. I mean, they have him back to back filming, so he's super busy. You could actually, hey, join him in person tomorrow if you're in the area. That is in North Carolina, I believe, at 12:15 p.m. in person tomorrow. Check him out if you're in the area. That'll be awesome. Don't want to miss that. I am Shay Wilbur, the media director here at Troy Brewer Ministries and Open Door Church and all things happening within this house. And I'm so excited. We have so much to talk about today. We are discussing the Israel hostages update. President Trump has secured the release of Mark Fogel, an American teacher held in prison in Russia since 2021. We're talking about promises that he has made and promises that he has thankfully kept. We are talking about God's promises and some of our favorite. We're going to go over some of those and some ways that we can really hold on to the promises of God when we're going through struggles ourselves and so much more. But before we get to all of that, let's bring in the crew, the one and only Zach Rippey. What's up?
Shay Wilbur.
How are you?
So good. What a blessing to be here today. And it's I love that we're talking about God's promises today and living that out and just keeping leaders accountable and just showcasing the goodness of God, even when you're going through a storm, because I feel like there are so many storms, even through all the good news of what's happening in the country. It's personally, you can find yourself in some fog from time to time. And it's about holding on to that trust that God's going to pull you through. That's important. So it's a good day to be here.
Yeah, totally. And it's good too. And we'll get to this, but sometimes you just have to remind yourself of what the Bible says and what God says when you're going through those struggles. It's like, you know it. And if you were raised in the church, or maybe you weren't, but if you've heard those verses before, sometimes it's just, you need the reminder of those verses when you're in the middle of that storm to be like, oh yeah. And sometimes that's like the encouragement you need to kind of pull through. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But also we have the lovely Rebecca Tamayo in the studio.
I'm glad to be with you guys. It's been a while.
It's always good to have you.
I know. I love what he said about reminding people of God's promises, but also what's happening. I think it's really, really amazing how Open Door, but the Pulse, the prophetic ties in with what's happening out there and then the prophetic. And then we're able to unveil that and understand it. Cause I don't watch a lot of the news, but I love coming here cause we get informed and then God reveals and God speaks. And I just love what God's doing through TBM and through Open Door Ministries and what you guys are doing and what we're doing together.
Yeah. It's so exciting. And it's funny that you say that. Cause I find myself looking forward to, especially like the top part of the Pulse.
Yeah.
And especially when Pastor Troy is here, I love hearing his take on what's happening in the headlines.
Yeah.
Because we see what's happening in the news and we're constantly, you know, we know that you don't just take headlines for what you see.
Correct.
And it's so helpful to have that prophetic voice to be like, hey, I know the headlines are saying this, but this is what God says, or this is how God is speaking through it. So we're going to go over some of those big headlines today. Obviously we are not Pastor Troy. We will be missing his insight on those things, but we'll try to dissect and see what the Lord is speaking, you know, to us through some of those headlines. Before we get to that though, let's get to some announcements. Let's welcome some of our crew. I know we've got a bunch of people joining us from all over.
Yeah, we got Jill from Lancaster, Texas in the chat. We have Phil from Orange County, California. Uh-huh. I wrote Orange, California.
I think there actually is a town called Orange. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that's what I wrote.
Yeah, maybe it's prophetic. I don't know.
All right. We also got Aaron Ash from Cleburne, as always. We got Robin Day from Mesa, Arizona. My friend Monica Flagstaff from Arizona. Monica, good to see you in the chat today. We got Pablo. We got Paula from South Montana. We got Lisa from Illinois.
That's how it's spelled, though. It is how it's spelled.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we got Sarah Spencer here. We got Reese in the chat. We got Matt. We got Jill Jones. We got Pablo and Carol just faithfully tuning in, as well as Mark from South Africa. So wherever you're watching from right now, do us a favor. Drop a comment. Let us know. And we're always grateful to see where we have our audience tuning in from. And, man, make sure you like and you share it. Get a comment out there. You know, just broadcast it. Just get this this message out there and be a media missionary of the house.
Yeah. And hey, maybe you're watching in a city and then someone else is watching in your city. You can have like a Pulse crew, a Pulse meetup in your own city.
Yeah. I think Monica and Robin Day, you know, they do that. Cool. They connect. They connect, I think. Yeah.
I love that.
That is so awesome. And I love how all the ODX family, they're on there, they're chit-chatting, they're praying for each other, they're encouraging each other. And I just want to encourage you guys, like he said, like, comment, and share. When you like, comment, and share, we're not only being media missionaries, but that's a way that we're able to help rescue children from human trafficking. And that's what we're all about saving the children, setting them up, not only setting them up for, as we say, giving them clothes or giving them a home, but we set up what we can, and we also set them up for their future. And we've seen so many testimonies, right, of little girls, now they're in college, and now we get to see their testimony. Now they're saving, and they're being the rescuer.
Yeah, it's so cool. Now that, I mean, Pastor Troy and Leanna have been rescuing kids for 30 years and have saved over 11,000 kids in that time. And I'm pretty sure that we passed like 12,000 by now, because we've been saying 11,000 for a bit now. And it's just amazing that in 30 years, you know, you rescue kids that are babies, and then now they're going to school to become doctors. I know we have people in Africa that we have saved when they were kids, and they're literally like heart surgeons or brain surgeons or something, some type of surgeon that's really, really smart. Yeah. And it's just amazing.
Very, very smart children.
To see God's faithfulness through that and what he's done in and through this ministry. So we're just so blessed to be a part of that. And as Pastor Troy says, we do this so that we can rescue kids. So the more that you share this, the more that people hear the mission and the true heart of what we do, the more kids get rescued.
Amen. Yeah. And I love that, because Pastor Troy leads so many people to Jesus, and he helps people spiritually grow.
Yeah.
But like in the same breath, he's called to a separate mission than so many people are called to that lead a body of Christ, you know? So for him to be able to just, you know, help so many people in this regard, and then have us on his team to also facilitate that. And we just, even today I was looking at a Dropbox folder of like rescue stories, and I was like, man, it just, you know, gets your heart feeling the type of way that you need to feel. You need to have that compassion. You need to have a yes in your spirit to do something about it.
And that's the why. Yeah. That's so it's nice to like connect. And that's why we always are sharing rescue stories on here. It's not just like, oh, they're fundraising again. Mm-hmm. No, it's because it's truly the heart. It is the why. Mm-hmm. It is why we do what we do. And even, you know, for us working here, sometimes you can get tied down in the monotony of work, or like, you know,
Trello.
If you're, Trello, we're all learning Trello. Thanks, Chris. If you're watching, project management software that we are all learning.
Thank you, Chris.
And thank you, Chris. Be so proud of us for talking about it right now. And it can get like, you're in the details, you're in the weeds. And sometimes it's just nice to find a folder of rescue stories and see the faces and be like, wow, this is why we're doing it. So and we'll get to more of that in a little bit, but let's hit some of the news stuff, because we're talking about promises kept.
Amen.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about God's promises in a little bit, but before we get to God's promises, let's talk about what Trump has been doing. He has been making a lot of promises, saying a lot of things since he came into office. One of the things that he said this week, of course, you know, I had to start here because it gets me really fired up, but Trump has threatened that if all of the hostages are not released by Saturday, there will basically be hell to pay. And that is a big statement. Of course, the other big statements he's been saying about Gaza have been huge as well, as far as like, we're going to make it the Dubai of the Middle East, and we're going to, you know, whatever, build it up and all of those things. But the hostage situation, regardless of all of the hopes and plans for the future of Gaza, the reality is there are still hostages there. There are over 70 hostages. Some of them are children. We don't even know if they're alive still. I can't imagine, you know, being a mother. There was a mother kidnapped with her 9-month-old baby and I think her 4-year-old child. So I can't even let my brain go there thinking about what that year has been, if they are even still alive, and pray for God's protection over them and all the hostages. But he has literally drawn a line in the sand. Like, there will be hell to pay. And he is the type that, he does what he says, regardless of what other people think. But what's interesting is the Israel defense minister has now said that the gates of hell will open on Hamas if they don't live up to their end. Because basically what has happened is there's been the ceasefire deal. This is the update. Israel will resume intense fighting in Gaza if more hostages are not released by Saturday noon. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has warned, as he ordered the army to send more troops to the war-torn region. The military will return to intense fighting until Hamas is finally defeated. So that's that's a big statement. Mm-hmm. So basically, the ceasefire deal has been laid out. And in that deal, Hamas has to release X amount of hostages every few days, and then Israel will gradually withdraw. And that's what's been happening. But Hamas has also not fully lived up. They're playing games, which is what they do. Psychological warfare is a huge part of what they do. Mm. And so they've been playing these games, and there were certain things they were supposed to do. They were supposed to give us the names of those who were alive and those who were dead and things like that. So they haven't been doing it. And I think Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump are both tired of it.
Yeah.
And it's scary because I literally have friends, a good friend of mine, and he's been posting on social media, and he's been sent to Gaza again and again. Oh. And he'll literally be like doing Instagram, showing like a day in the life of a soldier in Gaza. And it is like the most dangerous place to be. And I'm like, goodness. Wow, I wake up and Jesus. I see, I'm like waking up in my bed and I see his post from Gaza. And I'm just like, God, protect them, protect our hostages wherever they are. It's just crazy because it's a small area and we know that they're there, but we need a supernatural something to happen to either help us find them or for them to just be released. God, to shift the hearts of Hamas. We know he can do that. Mm-hmm. So it's just, there's a lot going on. And one thing that is giving us a little bit of hope is that signs of life for 8 of the hostages have been released. We don't know. We actually have a picture of the 8 hostages that we don't know what the signs of life are, but these are 8 of the men that are being held in Gaza that are supposedly still alive. Some were kidnapped from the kibbutz, like their home village, and some were kidnapped from the Nova Music Festival. I'm pretty sure those are brothers that were twins. Mm-hmm. But man, there's so many people that are still there. And I just pray God's hand over the situation. It's intense.
It is. And you talk about them playing games, you know, and it's interesting because that's kind of like a power move that they're trying to show here. And I don't know why they're showing that card when they should know that Trump means business as well as Netanyahu means business. So it's interesting to see that they're trying to do this, but that's just kind of the demonic spirit where somebody can say one thing and then flip flop when more things start unraveling.
Yeah. And I think I'm so happy. I mean, I'm a very, like when I vote and when I voted, I voted with these type of situations in mind. Like I want a leader who is going to scare other nations that are coming against us, because Israel's enemies are our enemies. I mean, Hamas and this terrorist spirit hates America just as much. Like Israel is number one on their list, but America's right behind that.
Yeah.
Cause we're the land of the free. They are the opposite of free in every way of their society. Wow. And so they hate us just as much. So I think, you know, they knew that our previous leadership would kind of fall for some of their things. Well, but look, Hamas is doing this for us. So, and Trump sees right through all that, you know, he sees through those games and he has zero interest in catering to that.
May I ask you, what do you see as Hamas's gain here? Cause it seems like they're using these hostages as leverage. Mm-hmm, so what is it that they want or they're going for in this situation?
Well, I know that well, first of all, in this ceasefire deal, which is a terrible deal, point blank, like it's a they're getting for every one hostage, they're getting 33 terrorists back. From Israel's 30 or 33 from Israeli prisons. So they're giving back an innocent person that was kidnapped, like a dad with his kids or a mother with her children. They're giving one person back and they are literally getting 30 prisoners from Israel. What? And these are people convicted of murder. These are people convicted of stabbing attacks, of terrorist bombings. The guy who actually orchestrated October 7th was one of those prisoners released in a previous deal. So that's the type of people that work. So this is a terrible deal from the get-go. Yeah. But on the other hand, it's what had to be done to start getting people home. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, I just think if that was my family, I'd be like, please, Israel, like, please to the government, like, do whatever you have to do.
Right.
So it's kind of a lose-lose situation in that way. But they view that as a victory. Mm-hmm. So on the release days, on the exchange days, they throw a huge party and they're saying victory to us because we're getting all these people back and we're giving back just one person. So they see it as a victory. Yeah.
Do you think it's one of those things where it's like once the deal becomes executed, let's just say it actually happens. Do you think it's one of the things where America steps in and starts going after those people that were released from the prisons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes more of like a war mission.
Israel is not stupid. And they are the smartest military in the world. I mean, I was reading an article that over the past year, so many Hamas leaders have been killed, but there was one of them in particular that was killed, and everyone was like kind of talking about how did they even find this one leader?
Wow.
And they were able to track him through a liquid that was basically rubbed on his body. Jeez. So like, that's how, that's like that's the level of, yeah. intelligence that they have. And the fact that we know that means that's not even the tip of the iceberg. Cause obviously if it was like this big, big, huge secret, we wouldn't even know it.
Correct.
So they were able to locate him because of a substance that at one point was like rubbed on his skin.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy. Wow. So to me, in my head, when I see, okay, they're releasing all these, they've got to
hide. Yeah. Because they need to know also that they can't just hijack civilians again and get their way whenever they want. And then just take leverage back in another way whenever they, another October 7th happened. They need to know that they can't do that stuff like that again. And that's where Trump comes in. That's where power comes in. That's where US military comes in.
And one of the big things that he's doing, and Elon Musk has talked about this, is let's evaluate like where we are spending, what we are giving money to. Wow. One of the organizations that we gave, I don't remember the number, but it was millions and millions. I think it was maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to, was a cement factory that was in the Middle East, that was in that region. And all of their, they operate in underground tunnels. They're literally like, and I'm just going to say it, and people might have a thing to say about it, but they're literally rats. Like, in my opinion, Hamas, like those terrorists, they are rats of the earth, and they literally operate in tunnels underground. And where do, how do you think those tunnels are made of cement? Where do you think they got that cement?
Correct. Right.
Like, why on earth would we be giving millions and millions? Like, we were literally like funneling money to terrorism, to people that were going, you know, to our enemies too. So just things like that. They're evaluating, hey, why are we giving all this money to a cement company in Gaza? Just curious, you know, why are we sending all this stuff and what's happening to it? Just that, having that accountability is just, it feels good as an American to know that like someone's looking twice.
Right. Wow. And for people that do have a problem with Shay calling them rats, Shay has, me and her have had a conversation where she's seen people, like she's seen footage of what these terrorists do. Mm-hmm. And it's not footage that, you know, you see that's censored on CNN.
Yeah.
It's the real and raw footage. And so she's experienced that and she's seen that and she has family and friends out there. So I think it's a justified claim to just say rats.
It totally is. And this is something, I think I've said it on the Pulse before, but in America, we can't comprehend the level of evil. This is not a normal, like when we go to war or we're fighting or like, you know, there's war in Russia and Ukraine right now. There are wars all over the world right now. And those wars a lot of times are with evil people on whatever side. But this is a super, it truly is a spirit. It dates back to Bible times. It's a supernatural evil. And I have seen the footage, like you said, Zach, the unedited raw footage, and seeing the look, and it's footage that Hamas captured themselves. This isn't like, oh, well, Israel's trying to edit them and make them look bad.
No,
no, this is their selfies as they're slaughtering, as they're killing. And I won't even get into the details because I don't want to, I don't know, whatever, get banned from YouTube or wherever we are. Of course, we always have ODX, but shout out to our ODX community. But you know, it's the look on their faces of glee and actual joy and elation as they are slaughtering people. And then calling their parents, mom, I just killed 5 Jews with my bare hands. Literally, one of the calls said that. And she said, wow, praise be to Allah. Go get some more for us, honey. Like, it's not normal evil. And so that is what we are up against. And so that's what people, and really, if you don't
enemies
have the spiritual eyes to see,
enemies of God.
If you don't have the spiritual eyes to see, you're not going to really get it. That's why I think the world just had such a hard time understanding this.
Yeah. And that's why when we see people protesting for Hamas, it just looks like such a stab in the heart of like everything that we stand for. And it's like, you don't even know what you're standing for. And they say like, oh, free Hamas. And it's like every nation in that entire region is not free. So it's like, it can't, they can't even be free because they're not a free nation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like,
and it also should say something when you look, I saw a picture yesterday of the border of Egypt and Gaza. Cause you know, Egypt is an Arab nation. Mm-hmm. Israel, by the way, is surrounded by all Arab nations. And so, so why, if these people in Gaza are so lovely, why is like Egypt's Gaza border is more intense than anything I have ever seen? I mean, Taylor, if you Google it, you might be able to find a picture, the Egypt and Gaza border.
Really?
It is like the most intense thing I have ever seen. And so I'm like, if these are, why are their own people trying to keep them out? Like what Gaza is, the community in Gaza is, they're terrorists. It's not just, it's not just peaceful Arabs living. There are many peaceful Arabs that live in Israel. I'm friends with many of them there. I mean, Israel is welcome to all types and all types of people live there. It's truly a melting pot, but what Gaza is completely different and it cannot be grouped into even the other Arab nations in the Middle East. It's just different and people have to see. Yeah. So the border you'll see here, this is the border of Egypt and Gaza, which would be right over there. Or maybe it's over there, the actual crossing. I guess that's the actual crossing. So that's what I saw the picture of. But that's all Gaza, and South Gaza is Rafah. Yeah. So anyway, that's It's crazy. So, and I think people can't comprehend what it's really like.
So are you waiting for Saturday to see what happens as far as like, so Saturday's a big day for
Israel. Saturday is a huge day.
Okay.
And so they're 8 hours ahead or 9 hours ahead. So every Saturday morning when I wake up, usually I'll like wake up at some point in the middle of the night and I'll just start checking my social feed to see like, has someone been released? Yeah. Because that's what it's been the past couple weeks.
You are so faithful in posting about that in your stories.
I do because it gets me fired up because, you know, the first few hostages that we saw that were released were females and they looked healthy and smiling. And that's part of their plan. Again, that's part of their, I mean, they literally were told if you don't go out and smile and wave, like they're threatened with their life. Wow. And then we saw what happened last week. The four men literally look like Holocaust victims. Like it's terrifying. And then I've been reading some of the stories of what they were, what happened to them, like being hung by their feet and beat. And there's a couple stories that have come out now. Like one woman was literally like tied by her hands and feet, like to a pole as if like a rotisserie or something like that. And was like questioned because they thought she was in the military and she was just a civilian. And finally, one of the other Israeli military people stepped in that was a hostage and said, she's not one of us. She literally is just, she's telling you the truth. She's just a civilian. They finally let her go. And she said that girl saved my life by stepping in and saying that. There's just no end to the stories that are going to come out. And I really pray that we're going to also be hearing stories of God's supernatural protection. Cause that's something I've been praying, especially over the children that are there, that like the Lord will just somehow protect whatever area of their brain is that they have to go into to survive this hell.
Wow.
And like that they would come out of this and have supernatural testimonies. Right. And I believe that like, we're going to see that. Amen. And that, it's like, you have to hold on to that hope.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And you got to pray for that. And you got to be in agreement and unity about that. Of like, what can we do? You know, we can't go out there and, you know, get in the fight, but we can be praying in the spirit.
Yeah.
And we can be warned in the spirit for that.
Yeah, for sure.
I believe that.
Yeah. So anyway, I could go on all day. This is like a hot button item for me. And this
you
is like
a whole podcast about
literally
this.
My life right now. And, has been for my whole life, but especially since October 7th, obviously I just feel like it's so important to get the truth of the situation out there. So I love when you ask me questions because people need to have someone that they can ask questions to. And I'm not an expert, but I do know, what I'm talking about.
And we need to know.
And So that being said, there are other things that Trump is doing, not just threatening Hamas, which we're happy he's doing that. But, and this is, I mean, there's no way to shift the importance level between these two stories. So I'm not equating them, but I will say that I am also very happy about something else Trump has done. Zach, do you want to?
Dun, 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 dun. President Trump has banned paper straws, and we are going back to plastic.
That doesn't go to the
breaking news. There's breaking no way news. To transition oh that, my, so we I just got to do it. Back to plastic. Hard. Trump signs an order for plastic straws. He declares paper ones don't work. Okay. How many years did it take for us to figure out paper straws are the absolute worst?
I know. And the crazy part is I was reading an article. A lot of it is like federal based. Like he wants it all out of federal buildings, especially because, because back to that cutting spending thing too, we were spending taxpayer money, $15 for a 10 pack of paper straws.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Wow. $15 because the little plastic ones where you get like 40 or like $2.99. Yeah.
So that's what the government was spending. That's where our money goes, is paper straws.
Paper straws.
For the last 4 years.
Now, when I was living in LA, you know, they have like their version of it. So they had some that were like hard noodles. Like they were like, so like those are really weird too. They were like a little,
like a teether.
And I remember there was this place that we would always go to and it was like one of our favorite spots. It was in Malibu, like on the beach, and hopefully it's still even there. I don't know after the fires, but they had these really fun like drinks and a coconut. But then they would put this noodle thing, like hardened noodle. And by the end, it's a child's teether. And I'm like, wow, I think maybe paper straws would be better than that. I don't know.
I just don't like how paper straws, they always like expired after you took like three sips. They would just turn into like cardboard.
It's so gross.
You're like, am I drinking or eating
right
now?
I know. And then there's like this super, super... I don't know what to call them, but the people who travel with like the glass straws or like the metal ones, I could never be that person.
I like the glass straws.
The glass straws
look like coffee at home.
No, they're cool.
They're cool, but not to traveling
with it. Also, like cleaning them, it's just a hassle. Yeah.
It's like cleaning bottles with the glass straws.
I'm like, give me the plastic ones. Yeah, exactly. I'm just like, I'm a plastic straw person. Give me my plastic straw. Give me my ice. I'm
happy. I'm
going to buy
some glass straws.
Yeah. So that's just one of the things.
Yeah, that's just a funny segment that we had just there. Yeah.
But then, there, what are some other things that you were
excited about? I love this. I think this is so important. And it's so funny how the fake news called this fake news. But this was on Wednesday, Press Secretary for Trump, Caroline Levitt, announced that the Trump administration would stop paying for Politico and BBC subscriptions after the government funneled more than $8 million to the online sites via subscription. So therefore, a whole bunch of people in the government were paying Politico through their like accounts to essentially have $8 million a year being sent to Politico. And I wonder like how much of that is like, if the government is funding media sources, they can control what the media is saying. So therefore, that's like propaganda at its highest level, in my opinion. So he cut that out. And the whole Doge team that Elon Musk is a part of is working on canceling all of those payments right now. And of course, Politico is like, we report on policy and politics. We aren't taking, this is just subscriptions, you know, like, you know, really just finding a way to control the narrative in that.
Yeah. And I mean, so much what we've learned over the past, you know, 4 years especially, is how much of the media is controlled by people at the government level or just
corporations.
Yeah, corporations and people in power. And what's just so funny about how our election went is a lot of people have caught on to that and they're not buying it. Like, I think we're in a day and age now, and I hope we're moving more and more into that, where people are looking into things for themselves.
Yep. And now demand accountability for that. And that's the thing. Cause today, what's her name? Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
I saw a video. I didn't pull it for this, but she was getting pressed big time about the fact that she's like supposed to be making $200,000 a year as like as a representative, but she has a $12 million net worth. And this guy was just like grilling her, like as she was like walking out something. And she was like, you know, like, so like all these people, like, that's why they all are coming against Elon and Trump for this. Like in the narrative is because they're realizing that their money is going to be starting to get cut off, and whatever funneling system was in place for them to start generating wealth, that might not be a thing any longer when everything starts coming out and things start getting cut. I mean, even the Department of Education had $900 million cut of unused spending.
I know. I have questions about that. I want more information, because when I hear that like money gets cut to to education,
it doesn't sound great, but also like
because we also know that a lot of funds were going into critical race theory and to like a lot of the gender stuff. Like I don't know, I'm not like very well versed on that, I will say that. But if that's what our money was being like held for or going towards, or you know, education in those certain areas, that's why I mean I've just been so skeptical of education, public education, for that very reason. I want to be able to be the one speaking into my kid's life. Correct. So I definitely want to like look more into that, because I'm sure there's a reasoning.
Yeah, for sure. And I think everything that is being cut is them realizing that like we need change in more than just a financial level, but also like what is the point of this? And I even think it goes down to the why. Let's just think of like church. You know, you have to start kind of looking at like, all right, where is money being spent? Where's money going? Is this a good asset for the team? Is this a good ROI for what we're pouring into? You know, I think it goes down to that level even in government, and it should be that way. That way our tax money isn't going to stuff that's not really helping the country or us at all. Especially when you see the penny being halted too.
Okay, penny I forgot production. About that. I saw that. That's wild.
We talked about that on the podcast yesterday with Pastor Troy. Yeah. But it was it was two cents higher to make pennies, and it's going to save $178 million a year, which is the equivalent of 300 and like 50 plus Americans lifetime taxes. Wow. So, and that's every year.
Crazy.
So, and that's a lot of money. If you like, I would take one of those $170 million today, if that was possible. Yeah. I'll give you all my pennies.
Seriously, take my pennies.
Take my pennies and give me $170 million. Wow. So it's a big deal what's happening. And we actually have a video from Elon Musk, Taylor, if you don't mind showing that, where he's kind of given some pushback about the aggressive efforts that are being used to cut government spending right now. Watch this.
Voted for major government reform. There should be no doubt about that. That was on the campaign. The president spoke about that at every rally. The people voted for major government reform, and that's what people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for.
You see Trump smirking?
And a lot of times, people that don't get what they voted for, but in this presidency, they are going to get what they voted for. And that's what democracy is all about.
Come on.
Yeah, like Trump smirk as he's talking.
He was smirking the whole
time. Look at his
smirk. I know. Yeah, it was great. And I like this because it just shows that like there's a new sheriff in town. Yep. It shows that things aren't going to be how they've been. Mm-hmm. And we put somebody in charge that's had multiple businesses, successful businesses to weed out some things. Mm-hmm. And I say we give it a chance. You know, when there's so much pushback about something this early on into a presidency, that means that people are fearful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And people don't want this to happen, but it needs to happen for a good reason. The people that are speaking the loudest about this are the ones that probably got the most to hide.
Wow. Yeah.
Totally. And it's, I think you're right that like people are just shocked that he's come in with like a broad stroke and just like so much change happening at once. And we're used to, you know,
You hear people make
promises.
Or money being sent elsewhere.
Yeah. I'm doing this. And, you know, like Trump has literally a whole team of attorneys, and their job is to just research what he's actually allowed to do. And because he's making all of these promises, and he's saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he literally has a team that is like working overtime because he has so many things that he's putting into action, and they've got to make sure, okay, all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted if he's putting this into work. And I actually know one of the people that is on that team. And what an exciting time to be, you know, in the council of the president when you're just getting stuff done constantly. Yeah. Like,
I know.
And have to be the one like, oh yeah, Trump. Why do I always say Pastor Trump? I think because I'm used to saying Pastor Troy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Trump is not my pastor. Let me just say that. If it slips, it is not a Freudian slip or anything. He is not my pastor. Pastor Troy. We're always used to saying Pastor Troy. But anyway, I digress. So another thing, the Gulf of America has been updated on both Apple and Google Maps.
That's exciting.
That is exciting.
That is so cool. Look at that. People it says like Gulf of America.
Now, Troy's going to be upset. It's not Gulf of Texas, but
I didn't think he was going to be able to pull that off, but like, man, they pulled it off quick.
Yeah.
They got Apple and Google on board with it. Like, come on.
Yeah. So like, I just wonder that process. Like, what is that process to get that clear?
That quickly. You know what I mean? Like, how does that happen that fast? That's crazy.
Yeah. I'm curious for those watching, what has been your favorite Trump
victory.
Action? Yeah. Trump victory in the past, you know, since his presidency. I'm curious. So leave us a comment and let us know. And we'll read some of those in a bit. Sorry, I haven't been paying attention to the chat that much because actually, for some reason, my contacts are acting up and I can't really see it from here.
Yeah. Well, Reese, or excuse me, Matt said Zach can be a nut, LOL. So, yeah.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, we knew that. That's okay.
It's okay. We're all a little nutty around here, and Pastor Troy would say the same thing. He calls himself a hillbilly. I'm not a hillbilly. I'm a nutty city girl, but we're all a little nutty.
Yeah, you have to be nutty to be in this world and to be speaking for truth in this time. Come on.
Exactly. You know? I like Robert says, I'd like to thank everybody for a decent conversation here and now. See, we're nutty, but we still have decent conversations.
I know. Yeah. This has been flowing really well. I've learned a lot. I've been growing in my knowledge today.
And We're laughing.
We're having fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go behind the veil. And behind the veil, we're going to dive into some of that spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
And that we kind of teased at the beginning of the show and just talk about now God's promises. We've talked about what's going on in our country and what Trump has been doing, but let's talk about what God has to say and see where the conversation goes. I'm excited because it always takes a turn. He always moves it and guides our conversation. But before we go, Rebecca, anything that we should let our friends know?
So tonight, Pastor Troy is with Pastor Alan
DiDio.
I can't say it right. He will be at Encounter. So if you are in the North Carolina area, please stop by. They're having an emerging prophetic gathering. If I were there, I would literally just fly and go.
I know.
It's going to be amazing. So Pastor Troy will be preaching tonight with Pastor Alan. So that's going to be amazing.
That's going to be good. Look, he looks like he's got some up his sleeve to that picture.
Look at his hands.
He's like, I'm going to tell you something and your mind is going to be blown.
They're in Midland.
Which it probably will be.
Yeah, Midland, North Carolina. And also, like Shay said, he will be at the Sid Ross show tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Well, he's recording.
He's filming today, but tomorrow they're doing they have a live audience, I believe.
Yes.
So if you want more information, just look up Sid's ministry. And
I believe
it's
free because I actually gave a link on Troy Brewer on Facebook where you click the link and you get tickets. So if you're in the area, please go and say hi to Pastor Troy. So he'll be doing that tomorrow.
Let him know that you heard about it from the Pulse because he'll be really excited that we sent people.
We've been blessing that he's on Sid. And also tonight, Pastor Schwartz will be preaching. Are you guys ready for
that?
Yes. Oh, that's good.
I know.
Rebecca will be leading worship as well.
Are you singing?
Pastor Brian's going to have a big year. I can feel that. You know, he's stepping into a new anointing.
Yeah, we're just so excited for tonight. So if you're in the area, You could join us in person, or you can go to odx.tv and join us online. Also, Pastor Troy's new book. I know we've been, it's been literally, I've read only half of it and I'm blown away. So if you have not yet got Pastor's Numbers That Prophesy, Pastor Troy's book, please share it, give it to someone. It's honestly been one of the deepest prophetic books I've ever read in my entire life.
And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm trying to not laugh and tease you because you've said that you've been halfway through it
for a long time. No, because I have to reread it to understand it.
I'm not trying to troll you.
Call it out,
for real. It's so deep that I have to reread it over to understand it.
Because, no, I know.
You know, when you read prophetic stuff, you could say, oh, wow, that's prophetic. But if you don't understand
you have to take time. I'm sorry. I love you. I'm just teasing you.
I do believe that you should read, like, the Bible. You have to read it over and over. 100%. To understand it. But that's funny.
We're friends. I can tease her about this.
No, and I do believe that.
I'm going to need to see your bookmark.
Go see it.
We'll see where
it's all highlighted, like my Bible. Chapter? No, for real. But it is true. Like, and he's been preaching also on this series. So if you've been tuning into his sermon series, you can watch it on our YouTube channel. Yeah. I mean, he's been illuminating the chapters as he goes, and it's just so cool. It's so good.
There's a lot of stuff that he says that I think that even I hear one time, you have to dissect it because you won't get it the first, like if you don't get it the first time, you have to keep going back and back. And it's just one of those books where I think forever it's a legacy that he built. And just for our children, I think that's how I've been seeing. I'm like, now we could teach our children to be prophetic and not just be like, oh, I read this in the news. It's whatever. No. And everything that you said about Israel, I didn't have a lot of understanding about it. But when you say, you're like, wow, this goes way deeper than just, oh, it's just the news. We have to actually care about what's happening.
That's so good.
Yeah, I think it's one of those books that just hits.
Yeah. And Troy's in his own element.
Yeah.
Own
literally
going to say that. You're just like
not what? Everyone gets it like that. No. And so it's it's cool, like the numbers that prophesy.
And he's able to teach, even if you don't get, you know, you're not there.
That's
which
what
is
I like
cool
about it.
Because he brings you on.
Mm-hmm. And you understand it. You're like, oh, I get it.
I'm getting that.
Is there anything else? I think
leave a review on Amazon if you do read it. If you read more than half of it, leave a review.
Let me know how it's going halfway through the book.
But also if you feel it on your heart to get involved with our ministry and partner with us, there are many ways that you can do that. You can call 877-413-0888. It's right there on your screen. We have people 24 hours a day that are there, not just to take your donations if you want to partner with us, but also to pray with you. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you need someone to stand with you and prayer. Maybe you're feeling the Lord tugging at your heart and you've never actually accepted him into your life. Call that number on your screen. Again, this is not like some random person in another country. We have a team of people literally on grounds here that are waiting to pray with you and chat with you 24 hours a day. So you can also mail a check if you want to send something via mail to the address on your screen. I can't read from here. Oh, there we go. I was like, I can't read from here. P.O. Box 3775 Burleson, Texas 76097. And then you can also, if you're watching on YouTube, right, you can click the little giving link. So there are so many ways that you can get involved in what we are doing, but also join us on ODX. If you're watching on YouTube or somewhere that's not on ODX, you can join us as a partner. So you can sign up for ODX.TV as a stage 2 or stage 3 partner. And you can actually, it's a monthly subscription, which you think, okay, it's content. Yes, it's content, but that's just the bonus. Your funds are actually going towards helping us do what we do, which is save kids around the world. So really the getting access to all of our content and our conferences, if you join us as a stage 3 partner, that's just a bonus.
That's a thank you.
That's a thank you to sowing into what we're doing and saving kids around the world. Pastor Troy says the only reason, you know, we have 4,000 kids in our care right now and not 40 is just because we don't have the funds to do it yet. And every week we're hearing stories about like, wow, you know, we got more rescues here. We got more rescues there. What are we going to do? Where are we going to put them? And so it's just a matter of like believing God for bringing in those funds supernaturally. And we trust that he's going to do it. And all of you are part of that. So if you've been thinking about joining ODX.TV, now's your chance. Head on over there right now, especially because we're about to go behind the veil.
Yep.
And we're going to dive into some deeper stuff. But before we do, we're going to toss to a video. Which video are we ending with today?
I think we should do the Not On Our Watch commercial. It's one of those videos that really showcases the work we do here. And also would point you to the awesome documentary that Eric Steckelback filmed with us when we went down to the Mexico border. So check this out.
Up to 8 million children disappear every single year. And most of them are victims of an underground industry generating over $150 billion every single year. The government and the media, they seem powerless to be able to solve this epidemic of human trafficking, but you can make a great big difference. Troy Brewer Ministries is a ministry that's dedicated to making a difference one child at a time. And in the past 30 years, we have delivered 11,000 children from this living nightmare of sexual trafficking. And with your help, we can come to rescue thousands and thousands more. At Troy Brewer Ministries, we're not just rescuing and raising kids, but we are actually training nations to do the same. And friends, we work with foreign government agencies to identify and rescue children who are in desperate need of our help. Now, with 51 children's homes across all the globe, we actually provide food and clothing and shelter and the love and the truth of Jesus to every single child. Will you rise to this challenge? And would you please link arms with us as we follow Jesus in carrying out this mission? This is His mission. Simply call 877-413-0888 in order to get started, or you can simply visit us at troybrewer.com for more information.